Acts chapter 6. And in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews, because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them, and said, It is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, or Timon, I'm not sure, Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch, whom they set before the apostles, and when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them. So notice this chapter begins out, in those days. That means in that time, that following the events 1 through 5, the very early days, now the time's moving forward, and there began to be a murmuring among the Grecians against the Hebrews. They felt their widows were being neglected. You know, and this is obviously being done in a sort of haphazard way. There's no real organization. So other than just the apostles, and there are a lot of people being added to the church, so their ability to micromanage everything, they don't want to do it. And this, you know, when it says it is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables, reason would be better translated agreeable or desirable. It is not a desirable thing that we should be involved in this sort of distributing food and stuff when we have more important fish to fry. And so they say, you know, hey, among you, there's got to be 7 guys you can appoint to look after this. Pick out guys who are wise, full of the Holy Ghost, honest report, you know, people with a good reputation, people who can be trusted, people who are going to do this with the best interest of all in heart, and they'll take care of it. But the apostles wanted to give themselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. They would talk to God and talk what God has to say to man. And so the whole multitude was pleased. They thought it was a good idea. It was time there be organization. And it was not appropriate for the apostles to be continually bogged down with this kind of detail work as the group grows. And so among them is Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, and Philip. And the rest are mentioned here, but Stephen, of course, is the most important because chapter 7 is all about him, and this chapter is also about him. In fact, these chapters are kind of poorly divided here. But so the multitude brought these men before the apostles. They prayed, they laid their hands on them, and everything was good. Verse 7, and the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. So, I mean, this is something that God is attesting to, this choice of this man who's appointed to do something small. I mean, just, we're talking about distribution to widows, you know, ministering to the needy. But God is, but Stephen is a man full of faith and power, you know, the power of God to do miracles and wonders. And it, you know, it can be easily sort of people think, okay, miracles and wonders. Well, it's better translated, a wonder is a teres. It means it has regard to the effect produced. It causes people to wonder. And in fact, this word teres would probably be best translated miracle. It is the term that would best fit that English word. Whereas the word miracle here is simeon, which even kind of sounds like the word sign, because that's what it is. The word has regard to the significance of the work. The word miracle in English actually comes from the Latin word miraculum, which means a wonder, which is what teres means. So we've got wonders, which is miracles and signs among the people. Verse 9, then there arose certain of the synagogue, which is called the synagogue of the Libertines, and Cyrenians, and Alexandrians, and of them of Cilicia, and of Asia, disputing with Stephen. And they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit which by which he spake. Then they suborned men, which said, We have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and against God. And they stirred up the people, and the elders and scribes, and came upon him, and caught him, and brought him to the council, and set up false witnesses, which said, This man ceaseth not to speak blasphemous words against this holy place, and against the law. For we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth shall destroy this place, and shall change the customs which Moses delivered us. And all that sat in the council, looking steadfastly on him, saw his face as it had been the face of an angel. So there are certain of the synagogue. You know, the Jewish synagogue is like this institution. And there were them of the libertines. It's very possible that these are the descendants of freed slaves who had been taken captive by the Romans at some point in the past. And then been released, because libertinus means a man who is a freed slave, is that was the name for it among the Romans. So these were, whatever, from distant parts, all of them. Cyrenians, Alexandrians, Alexandria, Egypt, Cilicia, Asia. So these are of these distant places of the synagogue, and they are disputing with Stephen. But they're not able to resist. Now, that doesn't mean that they are, oh, we're convinced. Boy, he's so... But they are not able to demonstrate the superiority of their logic and reasoning, so to speak. They are not able to give answer, or a good answer. You know, there's times when you're confronted with questions. And you can either give a good answer, you can look like a deer with his, you know, caught in the headlights, so to speak. And he was given such wisdom that they could not, the wisdom and spirit by which he spake, they were not able to resist. In fact, you know, the word for resist is antihistamine, which should sound familiar. Antihistamine, you know, allergy medicines and such. That just popped into my head. But anyways, they're not able to resist the wisdom and spirit. So they suborned men. That means, literally, it's the word hupobalo. Balo means to throw under. It means like to insert stealthily. To kind of cast them in from underneath. To undermine. To suborn. And they said, We've heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and against God. That was what would get people riled up against him. And they stirred up the people and the elders and the scribes, and they brought him to the council, back to the good old council. Got this one here, and they got false witnesses to speak against him, saying, you know, he's speaking words against this holy place and the law. Yeah, I wonder about Jesus' prophecy, though, in, you know, Mark 13. And Christ had prophesied the destruction of Jerusalem. But at this time, you know, I don't know if that's what the message that they were going forth with. See, in the early period of Acts, they were preaching the gospel to the Jews that if they would repent, you know, Christ would appear and he would restore to them. Well, that was their hope. Anyways, that was the hope they were preaching. They weren't necessarily preaching the destruction, though Christ had spoken it. It had not yet been written, very likely. The Gospels weren't written like the day after Jesus rose from the dead. You know, they were written some time after. So, his prophecy would not necessarily be what was on their tongue as they went around preaching the Gospel. In fact, when you read the Gospel that Peter's preaching, I don't see any reference to the destruction of Jerusalem. But, that's coming. You know, so in some sense, when he, it makes me start thinking of that because, you know, because Jesus did say that that place would be destroyed, but not that he himself would destroy it, and that would not be something that his apostles would be saying, or any of his servants, certainly not Stephen. And as I mentioned, this chapter is poorly divided, and so that's where it ends.